As tens of thousands of demonstrators left Seattle, trade ministers too were leaving town after the World Trade Organization summit collapsed. The rebellion on the streets coincided with disputes among industrialized nations and a revolt by developing countries inside the WTO, blocking any agreement on an agenda for future trade negotiations. Although mainstream media focused primarily on broken windows at Starbucks and police use of tear gas and rubber bullets, vandalism was committed by only a small group of self-described anarchists. The majority of protesters in Seattle were engaged in non-violent dissent to focus attention on their opposition to WTO policies, which they believe undermine environmental protection, democracy, labor, and human rights. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Michael Albert, an editor at Z Magazine, who assesses the strength of the movement that brought together a broad coalition of progressive groups to protest the policies of the World Trade Organization.
I don't want to wax too euphoric. That is, I don't want to, you know, make believe that we're at the dawn of a dramatic transformation of society that's going to happen overnight. But on the other hand, it was a remarkable set of days. It was a demonstration in which a whole array of tactics, on the one hand, from marches and teach-ins and dramatic interludes through to militant civil disobedience, were occurred in parallel and with mutual respect. And it was also a day in which hugely different constituencies, which in the past couple of decades have had a hard time relating well to each other, did relate well to each other, and in fact shared an agenda, and more than that, shared a lot of solidarity. And I'm referring now to, well, the archetype example of it is the phrase turtles and teamsters, meaning, you know, environmentalists and labor movement representatives. But that wasn't all. I mean, there was, you know, the avenging lesbians, gay and lesbian movements were there. There were just all kinds of different constituencies united by their opposition to the agenda of an elite organization representing corporate interests, basically dictating international and even domestic policy around the world in the interest of profit. And that's very powerful. And the impact of it is immediately evident, for example, in Clinton's waffling, in his efforts to distance himself from what the movement was critiquing. Now, it's all rhetoric, of course, in the short run, but if this movement can grow and can be sustained and can even broaden its focus, it can have a tremendous impact. Look, suppose we were to tackle the issue just from scratch, as if we were just thinking about it, and we sort of asked ourselves, okay, countries in the world trade, they engage in sort of economic interactions with one another, and we're going to have some kind of regulations to ensure that's beneficial. Well, what would we be concerned with? Well, any relatively humane and caring person would immediately say, I should think, well, look, the stuff that they're trading is produced by people. We should be concerned about the well-being of those people who produce it, the workers. And such a person would say, well, look, the stuff that's produced is produced in communities, and we should be concerned about the stability of those communities. And the stuff that's produced is produced in workplaces that have environmental effects, and we should be concerned about the environmental effects. And maybe, I suppose it's conceivable, that someplace down the list, you know, 97 spots down, somebody would say, well, geez, you know what? We should be concerned about the profit of the owner. But I doubt it. I doubt it that any caring, humane person would even put that on the list. And that's important, because what the World Trade Organization does is it erases all those first 97 items from the list, and it puts one, the profit of the owners, at the top. That's what the fight is about.
Do you think that's the message that got out to the American people, by and large, over the past week?
Well, remember where we started. A week ago, or, you know, before the events began, I think if you, you know, if we could do this kind of thing, if we were to survey the entire American public, we would find what percentage had ever heard of the WTO. I don't know, 2%, 4%, maybe 5%. After the events, the number of people who've heard of the WTO is hugely larger. I don't know what it is, 50%, 60%, 70%, I don't know. That's a remarkable transformation. What else have they heard? Well, they know that there's a lot of people from a lot of different constituencies, including labor, who are upset about the WTO. So now a large portion of the population knows that there's this controversial thing called the WTO, which one would be wise to have an opinion on. That's already half the battle. That was achieved at a minimum. I think more than that was achieved, though. I think there's a certain amount of substantive content that got across to the public. Now, that's harder because, of course, the media doesn't communicate that. So the media communicates about, you know, 14 broken windows or whatever concerns it can hone in on without talking about what I talked about at the outset and in more detail, you know, the actual implications of a WTO being able to do whatever it wants with the world. But I do think that a tremendous amount was accomplished on those fronts and that, you know, a lot depends on what happens now. Coming out of this, will the various different constituencies, you know, maintain their ties and maintain the allegiances and associations that arose in Seattle and be in position, say, to, you know, hold a massive demonstration at the two conventions, for example, and perhaps even broaden out the agenda of the demonstrations to include not only the WTO, but perhaps some domestic economic issues or race issues or gender issues. If that kind of thing happens, we're in for a very interesting opening year of the new millennium.
That was Michael Albert, an editor at Z Magazine. To contact Z, call them at area code 508-548-9063 or visit their website at www.zmag.org.